Chris and I try to share just a little bit with you about our week. We had a trip this past week to the Shepherds Conference in Southern California, and so we just kind of wanted to take the time tonight and try to recap some of that for you and let you in on what we're now in on, and just tell you about all the different changes that are about to happen to this church. No, just kidding. Do what? Oh, are we singing a duet? Yes, yes.
That's later in the service, and it was supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
There goes the surprise. Well, we might as well not do it now.
Well, I know.
Yeah, it's over.
It's over. Now we're not going to do it. No duet.
So, anyway, how about I lead us in prayer, and then we'll just go for it. Father, thank you for the great day you've given us together. Thank you for this time again tonight to be here and to just to rejoice together in all that you're doing in our lives and in our church and in our ministries. We look forward to the time to just reflect on this past week, particularly things that Chris and I learned and the ways that you used the conference to encourage and challenge each of us. Pray that we'll be able just to share some of that and give the whole congregation a taste of that. And I do thank you for that privilege, time to get away and be refreshed. And thank you for each one who's here tonight. Just would pray for your blessing, Lord. Maybe some that are here that didn't know this was the plan and expected something else, or maybe need something else. I pray that your spirit would just attend to each need and each heart and life and minister to us and make the time profitable. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior, and we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, I just want to kind of tell you what the Shepherds Conference is to start with. The Shepherds Conference is a pastor and church leader conference that is hosted annually by Grace Community Church in Southern California. Probably 3,500, would you say, pastors or church leaders were there, and this is a conference they've been doing for 30 years now, so they kind of have it down in terms of how to put on a good conference and really minister to the people that come. And so we were just thoroughly blessed, thoroughly overwhelmed with the whole thing. It was just a great week of soaking and marinating and just great preaching and great teaching and great singing and music. And you know, it's just almost unbearable. It's just wave upon wave, you know, hits you. And by about Thursday afternoon, you just want to say, "Uncle, you know, I can't process any more than that." But it's just so good and so encouraging and stimulating. And we got to go to various little breakout sessions that were led by different pastors on their church staff and that addressed various topics, and we'll be talking about some of those tonight. The keynote speakers, the ones that led the general sessions, were, of course, Pastor John MacArthur, who has been at Grace Community Church for 43 years this year. Dr. Al Mohler, who's the president of Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, and Dr. Steve Lawson, who is the pastor at Christ Fellowship Baptist Church in Mobile, Alabama. Great guy, fun to listen to, just high octane, high energy, you know. He takes off and he gets to 40,000 feet and he holds it there for about 45 minutes and then he just lands it and you just go, woo, 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 woo. So it's pretty intense. All these guys are really high octane, intense preachers, and just really blows you away at the level of energy they have in the pulpit and just the model of really textbook exposition as well. Tom Pennington led one of the main sessions. He is a pastor at Countryside Bible Church in the Dallas area. Dr. Rick Holland is another guy. He's on staff out there at Grace as the college pastor and kind of heads up the Doctor of Ministry program. And then Nathan Busnitz as well. He's on staff out there. He teaches at the seminary, and I can remember when Kim and I were in seminary in the late 80s and early 90s, Nathan was in fifth grade, and he was in our little Bible study class we did on Sunday night. So it's kind of fun to see. Well, it's painful to see how these youngins grow up. But anyway, just general impressions, first of all, maybe some of the highlights. For me, one of the things was just the hospitality at Grace Church. Just the way they welcome you and just pull out all the stops to make you feel special and to accommodate you and meet your needs. I mean, they thought of everything. I mean, from the parking lot, really, to the pew you sit in, they're just everything you need is right there. Safety and security in the parking lot, people helping you cross the street, people helping you find where you're supposed to go, people handing out, you know, the daily news so you get caught up on all the announcements, all kinds of lines and tables set up for food and refreshments and coffee and donuts and biscuits and gravy and, you know, boiled eggs and orange juice and apple juice and decaf and regular and just, I mean, it's just amazing. And you come out of a session and it's a whole nother set of things to choose from, you know, and it's just like that the whole time. And so we each gained, you can't tell it, but we each gained about 8 pounds.
And as a first-timer, you kind of assume that, hey, they hired this all out, and these are all, you know, this is all part of the registration fee or whatever, which was nothing. I mean, it was enough to make sure that you were going to get there when you said you were going to get there. I think that's probably the registration fee, the purpose of it. But no, these were all church volunteers. They didn't hire in anyone, I don't think, to do any of this stuff. So they said there was one volunteer for every 5 pastors and leaders that were there, which was just amazing. 700 and some volunteers.
Right.
Doing everything from sweeping up trash and mopping the cement to, preparing food and standing in line and providing security and everything else. So it was... it was amazing testimony to just the hospitality of that church.
Right. Yeah, and I guess the principle of that, just reflecting on that in our own church, our own ministry here, is, you know, we can never do too much. We can never go too far in making people feel wanted and welcome and special, and serving people, serving their needs. And the joy and the sense of privilege in being able to do that. Love compels us to do that, to give our most and our best. What else was a highlight for you?
Definitely the music. I mean, I'm the music guy, and I've got a few slides later on just of some of the special music. But it was really excellent. It was the best of classical music, the organ, the piano, choirs, multiple choirs, special guests that they had in. And then, but the real highlight was just, 3,500 pastors, a room full of guys all singing together was really special. Just that time of corporate worship that we had together.
Yeah, you guys sing great. I mean, there's churches that, you hate to go there because, you sit over in a section and you feel like you're the only one singing, and you guys really go at it, and I'm so thankful for that. But, we could stand to ramp it up a notch. When you're in a room full of 3,500 pastors who think they're singers and are trying to prove that they are, it's pretty intense. I mean, and what's great about it is you can be standing there singing at the top of your lungs and you can't hear yourself. So you don't know whether you're singing well or not, and nobody else seems to care. So it's great. And, in addition to that is just the whole level of energy and enthusiasm and excitement in the room as people came in. In fact, to come in, they opened the doors, they kept them locked until like 20 minutes before the session time. And so for about 45 minutes before the session time, 20 to 25 minutes before they open the doors, you start getting this line. And they have this auditorium that kind of fans out this way. And so there's doors basically at every aisle. At all of those doors, lines begin to form, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people deep, waiting for the doors to open. And when those doors open, for that brief moment of time, all those godly saints lose their sanctification, and it's every man for himself, racing, you know. They don't fill up the building like we do from the back forward. They fill it up from the front back, and it's amazing to see people just rushing in there to fill in the cracks. And that was the key thing, just the intensity and the energy level and the enthusiasm to be there and to be a part of that environment and to know that it was going to be, yeah, like I said, great music and great preaching. Mm-hmm. What else?
There was definitely an international flair there. I mean, there were people from Russia, Japan, Africa, just everywhere, and they were all associated with the seminary there at the church. So that was was really neat to see. You know, the Grace Church is all about expositional verse-by-verse preaching, and these internationals that were there were all about verse-by-verse expositional preaching, and it was neat just to see that community being formed around that principle. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that was a huge thing to be able to, and that's what's great about being in there. You know, is you're standing there singing, and you look around and you just see really kind of the whole world represented here, different ethnic groups, not only from that area around Los Angeles, but all these guys that have traveled from Russia, from China, from Europe, from South Africa. I mean, they've just all come to this conference, and you see them all. They've got their little headsets on. There's somebody in a room somewhere translating so they can all follow along. And you just sense, man, this must be a little bit of what heaven's going to be like, you know. So it's just great. Like I said, all the speakers to me, you know, just classic textbook expositors. That was one of the things. It's just, I mean, the detail of handling the text, the precision of the I mean, just models of, hey, handling the text faithfully and accurately, building the whole message from the text and applying it and exhorting the people based on what's there. It just reinforces my own commitment to that, just to keep doing that, to strive to do it with even more excellence and more, you know, accuracy and thoroughness and completeness. Just a great example to me. And just in general, to work hard at all phases of ministry, just to be more diligent and to strive for excellence in everything we do. That was kind of the takeaway for me.
Definitely by example, because, you know, you're presented with all this excellence, just this way they're serving you, the way the music is presented, the content of all of the sermons. And then they exhort you to do that too. You know, it was definitely aimed at church leadership, and they were letting you know as a leader what you'd signed up for. So that was good.
Yeah. All right, you want to sing some?
Sure.
Some of the songs we learned? Well, not necessarily new ones, but...
Yeah, so one of the things that we did in the conference is they would do a set of songs together, and they would kind of make a progression. This wasn't... I'm sure they, you know, that they just thought through this all, and just part of what they do. So this set is a set that we sang together. It starts with "Come Thou Fount," which is number 2, and then "The Power of the Cross," which is the handout. Hopefully, you got one from the music stands in the back. If not, there's probably still some on those music stands. And then number 89, "Jesus, What a Friend." So it starts off with "Come Thou Fount," which is a call to worship, and "Prone to Wonder, Lord, I Feel It." You know, it just kind of, it speaks to our need of Jesus. And then "The Power of the Cross" talks about Christ's sufficiency. And then "Jesus, What a Friend" is just, you know, basking in, you know, I've been forgiven, Christ is sufficient. It's just pure praise to Jesus. So we'll sing those three. And I'll re-announce that last one when we get there. But let's start with number 2, "Come Thou Fount."
I'm going to move away from the microphone. As
Oh, good. All right. Why don't we go ahead and stand, since we're just going to do three tonight. Come Thou Fount, number two. Come Thou Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise His name, I'm fixed upon it, name of God's redeeming love. Hitherto Thy love has blessed me, Thou hast brought me to this place. And I know Thy hand will bring me safely home by Thy good grace. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger bought me with His precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it for Thy courts above. And then this new song, Power of the Cross, I've already got the choir working on this one for Easter, so you'll hear this again at Easter time, but let's sing this one together. It's a new one, The Power of the Cross. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath we stand forgiven. To see the pain written on your face, bearing the awesome weight of sin, every bitter thought, every evil deed, cry. Power of the cross.
stand forgiven at the cross. Now the daylight flees, now the ground beneath quakes as its maker bows his head. Curtain torn in two, dead are raised to life. Finished the victory cry. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame. My name written in the wounds, for through your suffering I am free. Death is crushed to death, life is mine to live. One through your selfless love. This the power of the cross. Cross, Son of God, slain for us. What a love.
Number 89.
Jesus, what a friend for sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me. He, my Savior, makes me whole. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end. Jesus, what a strength in weakness. Let me hide myself in Him. Tempted, tried, and sometimes failing, He, my strength, my victory wins. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is this with me to the end. Jesus, what a help in sorrow, while the billows o'er me roll. Even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end.
We'll end with verse 4.
Jesus, what a guide and keeper, while the tempest still is high. Storms about me night o'ertakes me, He, my pilot, hears my cry. Alleluia, what a Savior. Alleluia, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, He is with me to the end.
Thank you. You may be seated. Yeah, that was pretty close. Yeah. We'll go ahead and dismiss the children's choir right now with Miss Bonnie to go practice. Yeah, and Gordon, we'll do the slides now. We got a couple pictures, and I stole some professional pictures off of the website, too. So, you know, this is the Shepherd's Conference. They had a little light there that I thought looked like the bat signal. So this is the shepherd's signal. If you need help, you can flash that up and a pastor will come assist you. Okay, it's at Grace Community Church, so this is proof that we actually went there and not somewhere else. I'm holding one of the free coffees that they had there. I mean, they thought of everything. I mean, they were very sanctified, especially to have coffee. This is, you know, the courtyard. Everything in California is outdoors because it can be. So we were in the courtyards a lot, and they had those umbrellas set up and heaters for the night, and it was just an amazing display again of hospitality. Okay, these are the people I think coming out, but you know, going in, they would be walking even more briskly. Trying to get in to hear the speakers. They're probably going to lunch right there. But it was good just to see, you know, the fellowship of all the guys and meet some of Brad's friends and fellow students from the seminary and connect with them. And I've got some stories if you want them later. This is just, you know, a testimony of the generosity. They had bags of books, and there were volunteers going around and around placing all the books in the bags. I mean, just... that they gave us for free as part of the conference. So these are all the tables. We ate out in the courtyard again and in the parking lot, and they would bring in different food for us. Here we are eating barbecue. We have a lot of pictures of food, but that's because it was the only time we had time to stop and actually take a picture. There's In-N-Out Burger, which you have to go to if you're in California. And they gave us for free. And this is us, you know, getting some books. And they had heavy discounts. I got a study Bible for $20. So. And then this is the main auditorium where all the general sessions were held. So you can just imagine. I mean, it's completely filled with men. And the singing's amazing. That's their church choir up in the front.
and their church orchestra, and they have it's all made up of church members. Those are all believers first and musicians second. This is me, okay? There, Brad took my picture a lot. We got to sing to you. Jubilant Sykes, he's been in the area several times. He's a, you know, classically trained musician, Grammy nominated, sings in the secular realm and sacred, but he's a member of the church. So he came and sang for us there, amazing voice. And this is the choir of the Master's College. I didn't really know the history of Master's College, but it used to be L.A. Bible College, and then it was kind of, they needed some help, and so I guess they came to the church, and they renamed it. And so now it's a four-year liberal arts college, kind of about the same size as JBU, and this is their choir. And they came and sang Haydn's Creation, a song from that, and they sang other just really good classical music, so including a version of Mighty Fortress that I'm going to send over to some people I know at JBU. This is Philip Webb. He's a guy that grew up in the choir there, a tenor, and just got trained and is now singing at the Metropolitan Opera also. So just amazing talent that they have there. That's Al Mohler. He was one of the keynote speakers. He's at the Southern Baptist Seminary. That's John MacArthur, if you've never seen his picture, that's who he is. Okay, and then this is the breakout session that I went to. I didn't take this picture, but that's about where I was sitting, actually. This is their choir room with the there are two music people there, Clayton Erb and Mr. Brandenstein. And I've got just a few minutes. Do we have time for that? Yeah. Just a few notes from that breakout session. Sorry, we just got the lights turned out, but I'm now done with the slides. Just in time, sorry. Just a few notes. I mean, I kind of collect these lists of evaluating new music. So I got another list for evaluating new music from them. And their list is all about lyrics, which, you know, any good list about songs is about the lyrics. So, you know, here is their list. They seek to use lyrics that say something reasonably unique. Therefore new and not just, you know, it's filling a need. It's not just replacing a song that we already have. That it's a balance between subjective testimonial lyrics and objective fact-telling ones. The title of this was Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs, and they defined those psalms as singing direct scripture, maybe in poetic form, but it would be scripture singing. Hymns as being theologically based songs, like the hymns that we would sing today, and spiritual songs being more personal testimony, what God has done for me. So we have some of those in our hymn book too. But they just said be balanced about that, and don't get overrun with songs that are about I or me. Make sure you balance those with songs that are scripture and songs that are about theology, objective fact. Avoid lyrics that cater to charismatic or experience-driven perspective. Avoid unbiblical trend to create an experience of God's presence. They just said that's kind of hard to define anyway, so don't try to do that. This was a good one that was new to me. Avoid the misrepresentation of spiritual warfare that would storm the gates of hell instead of standing firm. So they just went through biblically and said all of the, you know, songs that talk about spiritual warfare are talking about holding fast, and you're in a defensive position, and yes, you have the spirit of truth, which is an offensive weapon, but, you know, we're not going to tear down the gates of hell. Avoid seeker-friendly resources that skirt around essential doctrines. Basically, you know, there's power in the blood is okay to sing, because we are, you know, there is power in the blood. Don't be afraid of offending someone with salvation. And then avoid vain repetition, 7-11 choruses. Poetic imagery that is used in a doctrinally imprecise way. Ambiguous language. Boyfriend songs. That's my own. If you can't tell if it's about Jesus or about your boyfriend, then you shouldn't be singing it. That kind of summarizes their last three. So they added sentimentalism and patriotism as inappropriate also. So that's good. And then another list they gave was a list of things that music ministry should be used for. And I'll just highlight the last one that they listed was to introduce the unsaved to Jesus Christ through musical testimony, example concerts. And they quote Psalm 43, and he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. And they use the example of their Christmas concert where many people come to faith. And they said, you know, if you're going to do a concert where you're going to invite people in and you're going to have them listen to the music, make a clear presentation of the gospel part of that concert. Don't let it just be music. Don't miss that opportunity to witness to people who may have never heard about Jesus. So I thought that was a good point, and especially after one of the evangelism things I'd just been to, I kind of grabbed onto that as, hey, here's something we can do. You know, we've got some times where it is just music. Let's present the gospel as part of that. So that was my sessions.
So, wait, before you go, favorite joke?
Favorite joke?
You know, you get a bunch of pastors together, you get a few jokes told. Remember any of them? Because I'm going to use them all if you don't.
I may let you.
Oh, okay. Not that big a deal.
If it looks human, like that one?
Yeah.
So there's this guy. He was talking him up to me. What's his name? Hispanic guy.
Alex
Montoya. Went to his evangelism thing. He said, if it looks human, you evangelize it. He's like, if you have to drag mannequins into your sanctuary and evangelize to them, you evangelize them. It was great. He was very passionate about evangelism.
Yeah, Alex Montoya, he's great. Some of you guys have heard of him. He pastors a church down in, Whittier or something like that. You know, definite Hispanic area, East L.A. area or Orange County, I don't remember which, but one of the jokes he told, he was starting one of his sessions, and he said, yeah, I went to the hospital the other day to visit someone, and I came out to my car, and they heard this noise behind me in the trees. I turned to look, and it was the birds whistling, singing. He said, that never happens. In L.A., the birds don't sing, they cough. Anyway, Alex Montoya, he teaches at the seminary, and he teaches in the homiletics department, trying to get guys like me. I was the classic kind of guy he would pick on if I was still. Fortunately, I got out of there before he came along, or they probably never would have let me loose, but he's just trying to get these guys to kind of come out of their shell a little bit and loosen up and don't stand back there going like this. Would you turn in your Bibles to, you know, show some personality and some expression? And anyway, so he's one of those fiery guys that really helps the students kind of get beyond just lecturing their congregations like they've been taught to do in the seminary classroom. But it was fun. Some of the sessions I went to and some of the general sessions I want to just highlight for you or give you a brief synopsis of them. And that's really it. And if you have any questions, we'll give you some time to do that maybe if we have time, if I hurry. Phil Johnson did the opening session. He taught from 2 Timothy 4, the passage, Preach the Word, and just talked about how that's not just a mandate for pastors to be good preachers. That is a mandate for pastors to be all about preaching. Your whole life is to be ordered around that imperative of being the herald of God's word. And that was just an encouragement to me to be all about the word. And everything I do in my ministry is really as a herald, as a proclaimer of God's truth. Alex Montoya did a seminar. Chris and I both went to that one on evangelizing the community, what he called the forgotten field, people right around the church that tend to be the most neglected. Just challenged us to reach out. What are we doing, you know, to evangelize our community, our neighborhood, our city? Just really set in front of us the goal of seeking to make sure that every person in our city hears a clear, thorough, biblical presentation of the gospel at least one time. And just to think about what a good vision, what a good purpose statement that would be, you know, to have even maybe back there somewhere in the room a map of our whole town and just have it sectioned off into little parts that we're focusing on one at a time to make sure that we're really doing our job. Jesus already gave us the commission, right, to go and do that. So how are we going to do that? Then Tom Pennington did a session on 1 Peter 5:5-7, the passage that talks about humbling yourself and clothing yourself with the apron of a servant, being subject to your elders if you're young, you know, being submissive to those that are older you, and just the importance of cultivating humility and crucifying pride. He began by asking the question, you know, what's the most dangerous threat to your ministry? And he kind of gave us some options to think about, some time to think about that. And then he said, you know, the most dangerous threat to your ministry is your pride as a pastor. And so then he just kind of talked about how crucify that and cultivate humility by submitting to our elders, those in authority over us, by serving others and seeing ourselves as servants of all others, and by casting all our cares upon the Lord, knowing that He cares for us. John MacArthur then did the evening session out of Mark 11. I think he's preaching in Mark now, and of course, every pastor there has heard everything MacArthur's preached, so it's kind of hard for him to come up with something new that hasn't already been heard. You know, he could start in and they could go, yeah, I've heard this one, you know, and all walk out. So almost every time he has to preach something he's just recently preached or has just recently been studying at his own church there. But he went through the passage in Mark 11 where Jesus goes in and cleanses the temple. Remember that scene? It's interesting in Mark talks about how Jesus came there the night before. And it says, after looking around, he left. Jesus came there, looked around, and left. And then the next day came back and did what he had planned and was in his heart to do, which was to drive out all the stuff that was going on there. And so MacArthur kind of used that passage to emphasize the importance of making sure that in our ministries we aren't turning the Father's house into something it wasn't meant to be. And he just made the statement that if you want to turn the church, which really is the Father's house now, the temple, we are the temple of God, if you want to turn the church into something else, then don't get in the ministry. You know, if you're all about being innovative, or if you're all about making money or selling merchandise, then don't be a spiritual leader in the church, because it really is about being a steward of what has been entrusted to you. Rick Holland then did a sermon on 1 Peter 5 the next morning. I think it was Thursday morning. He did his deal on 1 Peter 5, 1-4, the passage that exhorts elders to shepherd the flock of God among you. And I remember the point that kind of sticks out is he was saying, you know, whenever you finish your sermon and you go back and stand by the back door and all the people line up to come through the line, and he said, you know, when they come through that, they're not there to congratulate you on your sermon. he said, think of it this way. They're really coming by saying, hey, remember me, you know? I'm a part of this flock, you know. They're coming by as sheep to say, and I know he's just suggesting that that's a way to think of it, is not to just stand back there and expect, you know, affirmation and appreciation, but to really think, you know, each of these individual people need to be shepherded, want to be shepherded, seek to be cared for. So do that. Care for them. Shepherd them. And don't ask God for a larger flock. Shepherd the sheep that he has already given you to feed and care for. That was a great challenge to me. Jesse Johnson, who is the local evangelism pastor at Grace Church, did a session called Missional Madness, How the Missional Movement Abuses the Great Commission. And he talked about how missional churches confuse Jesus' mandate to the disciples and to the church with God's mandate to Israel and their distinct strategies for reaching the nations. In other words, Israel reached the nations by staying put, by staying in one place and being separate and being different and putting on display a kingdom ethic and a kingdom blessing and making the nations envious so that they came to them. The church, on the other hand, is to reach the nations by going into all the world and preaching the gospel. And that contrary to missional churches, the emerging churches, our goal is not to bring kingdom-like conditions to the world, to society. Our goal is not to feed all the poor. Our goal is not to fight for social justice. That's not our purpose primarily as the church. Our goal, our purpose is to preach the gospel, to spread the news of the gospel, proclaim the news of reconciliation with God through faith in Christ. And so he just kind of talked about how in a lot of churches today, the whole emphasis is on, you know, forget giving them the gospel, give them a sandwich. And his point was, well, it's great to give them a sandwich, but if we're just giving sandwiches and not the gospel, we're not being faithful to our mission. Al Mohler then that night preached from Acts 18 and talked about Apollos and talked about him as sort of a model minister and how we could learn from him to be eloquent, to be mighty in the scriptures, to be fervent in spirit, to speak and teach accurately the things concerning Jesus, to speak boldly, but also to be teachable. Remember, Priscilla and Aquila came and taught him the way of God more accurately. So we should always be seeking to understand the scriptures better, more accurately. Then on Friday, Nathan Busnitz preached from Philippians 4:13, the most abused verse in the Bible, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, including pass a test without studying, include win a race, even though I'm really slow. He just said, you know, that verse has a context. And the context is Paul in prison saying thank you to the Philippians for their gift. It was a blessing to him, and he appreciated it, even though I've learned to be content in any circumstance. I can get by with plenty. I can get by with little because the Lord strengthens and sustains me. And so the sermon was just about contentment and how none of us should ever complain about our situation and our circumstances or compare ours with someone else's. But be content and to realize that the key to that is the exhortation Paul gives before that in Philippians 4:9 and following about rejoicing in the Lord always. In other words, let your happiness be in the Lord and your relationship with him. Pray about everything. Commit yourself to prayer. Fill your mind with what is true and right and lovely and all that. And then do the things you've been taught to do. Practice what you've learned and received and heard in me, Paul says. So that was a great reminder. And then Steve Lawson preached that afternoon from Amos 8, the passage Amos 8:11-14 about God sending a famine on the land, not a famine for bread or water, but a famine for his word for hearing the words of the Lord. And he talked about how that's basically what we face now in America. We're in a famine for the word of God, for hearing the word of God. Which means then that those who do have the food have to do what? Have to work even harder to proclaim it faithfully, to get it out. We have to work even harder to distribute it more widely. And as a church, and I as a preacher, we have to see ourselves sort of as a Red Cross, you know, emergency help and workers in a disaster zone, tirelessly trying to get food to starving people. So it's just an encouragement to me that, yeah, you know, it's not enough to just say, well, at least we got the truth here, you know. But we have to look at our whole area and say, wow, there is a famine, and you know, that means we have to work even harder to get the word of God to people that aren't getting it. And then Pastor MacArthur concluded the whole conference on Friday night with his message, another message from Mark 11, at the end of that, where just the question of Jesus' authority, they asked him, you know, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, well, you tell me by what authority, you know, you, rejected basically John the Baptist. And they wouldn't answer him, and so he said, neither will I answer you. But the point he made was that, you know, Jesus had all authority, and yet throughout his ministry he was submitting to authority. He was only doing what the Father sent him to do. He was only saying what the Father sent him to say. His authority was a delegated authority, and so is ours, so is mine. I have no authority apart from the authority God has delegated to me to say what he's given me to say and do what he's given me to do. And so I am faithful. We are faithful only to the degree that we stay within the bounds of that and do exactly and only what God has given us to do and say exactly and only what God has given us to say. So overall, it was very convicting, very challenging, encouraging conference. It's great to see old friends. As I say, I have two, and they were all there, and so it was good. Good time to see them, you know. When you don't have many, you got to get together as often as you can. It was great to be there with Chris and just to enjoy the time with him and eat a few burgers together. We've decided that's kind of our life, as our friendship is. It's all around finding a place to eat burgers together, and that's what we do. So if you want to pitch in to support that ministry, please do that. But just a great encouragement, wasn't it? We know what we're supposed to be doing, and it's just to have somebody kind of stick the battery charger to you a little bit and say, come on now, get back at it. Do something already. Get to work. So easy to kind of slide into a rut and just plug along and not keep your eyes on the big picture and stay passionate and motivated about things. So. Anyway, we just want to say thank you for allowing us to go, for paying for us to go. You may not know you did that, but you did, so thank you for that. Hopefully you will be the beneficiaries for weeks and months and years to come. Any questions? Maybe just give you a few minutes if you wanted to ask anything specific. Did we cover everything pretty well? Give you a flavor of it, taste of it? Okay, next year, you know, who knows, the Lord wills, maybe we'll try to go again, and if you'd be interested, we'd love to. It's guys only, that's the only downside, but, yes, Sue.
I was just curious as to whether what impact the news of the earthquake had upon the participants.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, everybody kind of knew about it. Everybody got up that morning talking about it and thinking about it and kind of looking around for the guys there from Japan in particular and, you know, checking on them. And but other than that, you know, not a lot was said about it. I think in the evening session, you know, there was some comments made, but certainly nothing about the impact on Southern California, which was minimal, obviously, compared to Japan and even Hawaii, I guess, for that matter. But anything else? Yeah, Jim. Oh boy, you know, I don't know. I think for me, it's just to be more passionate, more energized. You know, preach better, and I guess practically, and this is something that's been in my heart and mind, just kind of been brewing, but. Just to start in on discipling a group of guys, you know, just finding two or three or four men in the church and just really pouring into them what I know and just as a process of training future leaders and just being more deliberate about that. That'd probably be the main immediate thing that will, you know, be more short-term thing. But yeah, I don't know. I just think to be able to go there and realize, you know, there's other guys out there doing what you do, and just be encouraged by that. You're not alone. Stay faithful. And there may be fewer and fewer that are doing what we do, but God's at work there. Just stay faithful and don't be discouraged. That would be the main. You want his take on that? What do you think?
Yeah, I think just that thread of excellence that ran through the whole thing, and then to hear Clayton Erb say, you know, if you're in a small church, do what you do well, and keep striving for excellence. God is worthy. I think that was a key point that I took away. You know, God is worthy of all of our efforts, so we should be doing the best we can.
God's worth it. That was his statement, yeah. Well, shall we close with a song, or what do you want to do? Acapella?
Yeah.
You got it, man. You can do it. I can't, but you can.
Get someone to give us a first note, or I'll go bang one.
First note?
Yeah.
Which one is it? I'll get it.
You got it?
It would be the 13th one from the right.
Maybe Raquel can give us the first note.
Yeah.
04 a thousand tongues. I'm looking for the number here. 76. No. Hey, there's a free In-N-Out burger. We brought them back for everyone here. No. Let's sing the first and last verse of number 76, 04 a thousand tongues. Why don't we go ahead and stand? It's the first and last verse.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
Thank you. All right, you're dismissed. Thank you.